Why are men all over America talking about Testosterpro? Listen.
After I tried Testosterpro, I felt like I was the man I wanted to be. I wish I'd found out about it sooner because I feel like I'm more of a man now than when I was younger.
I'm Dr. Richard Cohen, MD, men's health specialist. In many men, testosterone levels can fall rapidly after age 35. But now there's Testosterpro, the complete performance boosting system I designed for men who are starting to feel their age. If you don't feel like the man you used to be, call now for a 30-day risk-free trial of the Testosterpro system, which includes my bonus report on aging and its effects on energy, sex drive, and stamina, free with your order.
Call now for your confidential trial of Testosterpro. 1-800-596-8357. 1-800-596-8357. Results will vary. 1-800-596-8357. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-596-8357.
WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Well, I guess this is the night. It's all right.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. It's Tuesday night. This is Head On, your nightly confrontation with the facts. I'm Bob Kincaid, and I feel compelled to start off with this one little story this evening. You know me. I don't think that there is a more solicitous person on the face of planet Earth with regard to the rights of the accused and the sanctity of the rights that are guaranteed under the Bill of Rights of the United States Constitution. No one more than me. But if you've been listening to the news throughout the day, you have periodically heard the story locally of this inmate at the Central Regional Jail who's been charged with making a bomb threat to the Nicholas County Courthouse Annex. Did it as a three-way call, tried to filter it through some buddy's house over big chimney or somewhere, and called the Nicholas County Courthouse. Oh, there's a bomb in the courthouse. You got 45 minutes to get out. No one is more solicitous of the rights of the accused than me. Because if we can't protect the rights of those charged with crime, we certainly can't protect the rights of those who are innocent. Okay, are we clear on that? I want this guy to go to prison for life. Not for making a terroristic threat. That's what he's been charged with. You know, what a geeky crime. Making a terroristic threat. No. I try so hard to keep the language on this show fairly clean. But with a guy like this who is so irretrievably stupid, so irremediably dumb, I don't want this guy to go to prison for life because he called in a bomb threat. I want this guy to go to prison for life because he's a criminal dumbass, okay? That's all there is to it. And, you know, maybe while we're considering, what is it here? The Senate Judiciary Committee's passed a bill that would make filming or taping movies inside theaters a felony. Can we work up a life sentence for criminal dumbass? Because that's what, I mean, please. You call in a bomb threat to the Nicholas County Courthouse and you're sitting in the jail when you do it like they're not going to be able to trace it. This guy can't obviously, this guy, if it turns out he's guilty, this guy can't function in civilized society. I mean, it probably needs to be institutionalized just to keep from hurting himself. This is about the silly, and I've seen some silly things. This is about as silly as they come. So, He's been charged with making a terroristic threat. No, charge him with criminal moron. Put this guy away. Put, you know, somewhere close to his family so they can come visit. You know, that way he'll be safe. This is the kind of, and, oh, merciful sakes. Called the, ran the call through a third party in Jumping Branch to the Nicholas County Courthouse. The person in Jumping Branch thought they were calling, helping him call, you know, a family member or something, so they're not culpable. This is all entirely, apparently, this guy's stupid scheme. Put him somewhere where he can't hurt himself. But then again, you know, I've mentioned from time to time the punishment fetish that we have in this country. How many, if we were to create that category of crime that I just mentioned, criminal dumbass, how many people that are incarcerated in this state, in this nation, could we incarcerate under that charge? Just criminal moron. Just too dumb to live in civilized society. I don't want to seem like some sort of hardcore jumping on this poor dude because he probably, you know, what, has a, it would be generous to suggest that a guy that would do this has a room temperature IQ. I think we can probably assume he's been in the Central Regional Jail long enough that if he was drunk when he got there, he's probably sobered up by now. If you do this kind of thing sober, if you do it drunk, it's bad enough, but if you do it sober, you know, there's no hope left for you. So, you know, just something to stew on there. It's interesting that you know, the Motion Picture of Association of America has taken up the time of the House, Senate Judiciary Committee to warn them of the horrors of video piracy. Although, if I recall correctly, when the bill was introduced, wasn't there an admission by the person who introduced it that there were no reported cases of this even going on in West Virginia? Your tax dollars at work. But then on top of it all, a report out picked this up in that, you know, that liberal media, the USA Today, Dateline Islamabad. Pakistani security forces came close to capturing Osama bin Laden in an operation about 8 to 10 months ago. 8 to 10 months ago, and it comes out today. But the terror mastermind, you remember the terror mastermind, the 6'4" skinny Arab dude with the portable dialysis machine trailing along behind him, the criminal mastermind, eluded arrest, and his trail has since gone cold. Could it be that Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf came out and made this announcement because things are going so badly for Bush on the domestic front? Could it be? Well, I'm not sure, but just because we worked a few connections, and we do have, in fact, audio from President Musharraf talking about the how close they came to capturing Osama bin Laden 6 to 8 months ago. Not everybody has this. This is a head-on exclusive. Let's see.
Missed it by that much.
See? That was Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf commenting on the fact that Pakistani security forces came close to capturing Osama bin Laden in an operation about 8 to 10 months ago. Let's hear it again. This is important.
Missed it by that much.
Yeah, there was a time when the dragnet had closed, bum ba-dum bum, and we thought we knew roughly the area where he possibly could be, Musharraf said in an interview with the BBC that was aired today. That was, I think, some time back, maybe about 8 to 10 months back. But after that, this is such a game, this intelligence, that they escape.
Missed it by that much.
President Pervez Musharraf in an exclusive to Head On with Bob Kincaid. Now, seriously, George Bush's stupid, shame-faced ripoff of the Social Security system is unraveling before his very eyes. So necessarily and naturally, he's got to trot out somebody like Pervez Musharraf to say,
missed it by that much.
Yeah. And are we willing to buy into that? Are we willing to be conned? are we? Because if that one didn't get you, then this one will. This one, Dateline Washington. Be afraid, remember? 9/11, very afraid. 9/11. Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, al-Qaeda's chief ally in Iraq, may be planning attacks on soft targets in the United States, including movie theaters, restaurants, and schools, according to Time magazine, doing the bidding of the Bush administration. Now listen very carefully. White House National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley would not discuss the specific warning, which Time said was circulated among U.S. security agencies last week in a restricted bulletin. Okay, so they're warning law enforcement, but they're not going to tell the people sending their kids to school or taking their dates to the movie theaters. Gotcha. Hadley said movie theaters, restaurants, and schools. Quote, are the kinds of targets we know that Al-Qaeda has traditionally been concerned about. Gee, I thought they had traditionally been concerned with flying airplanes into skyscrapers. But maybe that's just me. Now, we've gone through all of this terrifying bug spray, right? Right. The Al-Qaeda is going to get your movie. Al-Qaeda is going to attack your school. Al-Qaeda is going to attack you when you're sitting down at a restaurant. Now, way, 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 way down into the story, you run into this. Quote, but we, at this point, sitting here, do not have evidence of a specific operation by Zarqawi's organization targeting those kinds of targets. We just don't have that kind of information at this point. Stephen Hadley told CNN's Late Edition. Did you get that? There is no shame to these dirty, rotten, stinking, filthy liars in the White House. The Social Security plan starts to go down the drain. And look what's going on. Some congressional Republicans are beginning to balk at the idea of this nightmarish rip-off America budget that George and his nasty little fascist compadres have submitted to Congress. And look what happens. Every time. Lord, is there only one hymn in their hymnal? 9/11, Your Holiness. 9/11. Be afraid. Very afraid. Thank you, sir. That's it. But we, at this point, sitting here, do not have evidence of a specific operation by Zarqawi's organization targeting those kinds of targets. We just don't have the kind of information at this point. In other words, in little bitty short words that even George Bush could understand, we're just trying to scare you. We're just lying again. For God's sakes, don't look at what's going on in the country. Don't look at the fact that you're being conditioned to get ready to pay $2.50 a gallon for gasoline. Don't look at that. April 15th coming up. Don't look at the federal budget deficit. Don't do that. Don't look at the rising unemployment numbers. Don't do that. Don't look at the fact that your regional airports are getting shut down. Don't do that, because Abu Musab al-Zarqawi is going to attack McDonald's. Got it? Lord God, Billy Bob, there isn't it. This is the kind of stuff you would expect to be cooked up by a guy who's sitting in the Central Regional Jail calling in bomb threats. It's the same thing! See how it all ties together? It's the same thing! Damn. Either way, it's a lie. It's made up. It's fabricated. It's designed to terrify people when there's nothing else to do to scare them. How about that? Nah, they wouldn't do that. Yeah, they just did. Tell you what, let's take a break. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's a right way and a wrong way to bring jobs to West Virginia. There's a high road and a low road. The low road leads to reduced wages and benefits for West Virginia workers. It's a road marked by giveaways and sweetheart deals for those in the fast lane, but it's a dead end for the rest of us. The road less traveled is the high road. It leads to good jobs, fair wages, and responsible development. It's a little harder to navigate, but it's well worth the trip. A message from the ACT Foundation.
Around the block, just up your street, we're the neighbors you should meet.
State Farm agents Butch McNeely and Mullins, Susan Petrantazzi and Beaver, and Bill Straub and Bagley have a great way to supplement your Medicare coverage with Medicare Supplement Insurance. Sure, Medicare offers great benefits, but it leaves gaps in coverage. Help fill those gaps with Medicare Supplement Insurance from State Farm agents Butch McNeely and Mullins, Susan Petrantazzi and Beaver, or Bill Straub and Beckley. Proper planning can help protect your financial reserves from being spent on certain medical bills not covered by Medicare. For details on the cost, coverage, restrictions, and renewability of State Farm's Medicare Supplement Insurance, see your State Farm agents. For Medicare Supplement Insurance at State Farm Way, contact Butch McNeely and Mullins, Susan Petrantazzi and Beaver, or Bill Straub and Beckley. These policies offered by State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company are not connected with or endorsed by the United States government or federal Medicare program.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, head on.
No, really, these rotten, bloodthirsty liars. You think I'm just making it up. But the Time magazine article quotes intelligence agencies as saying, listen carefully, there is no evidence that Zarqawi's agents have even infiltrated the United States. There's no evidence that there's even anybody here. Okay? But Time also says the bulletin was based on the quote-unquote interrogation. Oh, yes, the interrogation. Bring him in here. We shall interrogate him. Repair the broom handle. The interrogation of a member of Zarqawi's organization. That probably means it's some kid who lived across the street. Because remember, you do know we've got 10-year-olds in Abu Ghraib. Pull it out! Pull it out! I'll tell you anything you want to! Pull it out! Out! Ow, 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 all right, he wants to bomb Red Lobster, okay? Pull it out! That's how it works. That's what that's the kind of really good information that torture gets you. And it's the kind of information we expect from the Bush administration because, after all, they're into torture. They're into, you know, Jeff Gannon, Gucker, Gucky, Gann, Jimmy, Jeff, whatever. They're kind of people, you know, the leather and studs group. And that's where you get, well, they're going to attack schools and restaurants and movie theaters. Oh, mercy. Well, let's go to the phones. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Good evening, Mr. Kincaid. How are you?
Oh, I'm just dandy.
Okay, I can barely hear you, my friend.
I'm terribly sorry. I mean,
there you go. A little bit better.
Okay, good.
Listen, I have some information for you, and I don't know if you can look this up on the web. But this was an editorial from the U.S. News and World Report, which is fairly middle of the road.
I always thought they were a little toward the conservative side of things.
Well, they are fairly conservative. But this is an editorial by Mort Zuckerman, and it's called The Case of the 12 Zeros.
Okay.
And basically what it states, and I'm not going to inundate you with the figures and stuff like that, but the estimated worth of American families in this country is worth basically $47 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And nearly all of it, 90%, would be needed to cover the government's current obligations.
Oh, well,
that's something
nice
to think about.
Oh, that's something to make you sit up in the middle of the night with a beady little cold sweat running down your forehead.
Now, you think about that, and just going on here, just to praise me here.
Go ahead.
I mean, if you want to take a look at some of the stuff in Bush's budget cuts, I mean, we talked about we were going to lose our airport here in Raleigh, in County. But, you know, his cuts are going to slash or eliminate programs that will really affect the quality of life for millions of Americans. I mean, we got a 12% reduction in elementary and secondary education programs.
Right.
14% drop in Medicaid, federal, state for the poor and disabled, 20% cut for cleaning water, but this is really what gets me. And, you know, they talk about how much they love children and all that. Okay?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Head Start, $3.3 billion, which means that 118,000 fewer kids will be covered by 2010. And also the program that subsidizes nutritional assistance for low-income pregnant women and mothers critical to prevent low birth weight babies.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to reduce the number of women covered by 740,000. And it only goes, my friend.
Well, thank God they're pro-life, you know. But again, I'm glad they have put this out there for consideration, Jim. Because
Bob, you need to get this. Can you pull this thing up on the internet?
Should be able to. John Kepi's working on it even as we speak.
Case of the 12 zeros. It's the March 21st edition of U.S. News and World Report editorial. And I'll guarantee you one thing. I don't know you as well as I think I do, but I think I know you well, so you probably want to spend the whole program on this particular fact sheet.
We probably could do that, Jim.
I've been looking for a fact sheet because that's what we used to deal with in the military, okay?
Yeah, facts.
Fact sheets. And, yeah. You know, just bam, bam, wham, bam, thank you, bam, and, you know, to give you the overall picture in the shortest amount of time. But if people could realize exactly what kind of hole we're in and what has happened since that idiot took office in 2001 and what these people have done, I mean, you know, these things are not civil liabilities. These are criminal acts.
Yes, they are. And you know, how many Americans, Jim, just you guess, okay, how many Americans have forgotten by now that George W. Bonghit inherited a budget surplus, a budget that was in the black? How many people have forgotten
exactly
that?
Well, that's pointed out in this article, that we have gone from the black, not into the red, but we've gone past a color in the spectrum that makes red look like pink.
Yeah, we're in crimson, scarlet, you know, deep purple, Bordeaux, yeah.
Worse than Scarlett's dress when she had to go to Miss Melanie's party. I'm not kidding you. And the source is David Walker, who's the head of the nonpartisan Government Accountability Office.
Yeah,
he says that the government's obligations, current liabilities, and unfunded fiscal commitments are over $43 trillion and rising. And we're not talking about nine zeros or billions, but 12 zeros and trillions. And when I picked it up this afternoon out of the mailbox after the Dr. William O'Brien show, and I happened to flip open coming down the hall, I had to literally lean up against the wall.
Well, yeah, because you think about these things, Jim. You know, I'll be honest. I don't know how many Americans those zeros would throw. I mean, it's horrifying to most of the you know, decent, upstanding, pro-America people that listen to the show. In other words, you know, Democrats, progressives, liberals. You know, does this matter to the mouth breathers and the knuckle draggers, Jim? I doubt it, because you know what the hot news is right now.
Well, what's that?
Well, the hot news right now is that a superior court judge in San Francisco has thrown out the Defense of Marriage Act in California. So that's what's going to have the knuckle draggers and the mouth breathers going. You know, you could come around and knock on their doors and ask for their share of that $42-47 trillion. They wouldn't care, because what's destroying America right now is it looks like there's going to be more of them queers getting married.
You know, I just hate that term. I hate the term queer. I hate the term faggot.
I do too. But you know what? I use that because that is the language they use.
I know, but
that's the way they talk when they're amongst themselves. How do you suppose that the Klan talks when they're not in polite society?
Oh, I'm sure the N word. I mean, it's just like that excellent movie with Gene Hackman, Mississippi Burning.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good example of how those people are and were.
And you know, these right wing the false fake these people who embarrass the very idea of the suffering of Christ and call themselves Christians. Do you think that they don't sit around and use faggot and queer and everything else in the world? I mean, that's what upsets them. That's what put George Bush into office, Jim.
And yet some of these people indulge in the same type of behavior which they themselves condemn.
No, you're absolutely, you know, I mean, God knows how many right-wing Republicans would be in it if we started the J. Edgar Hoover Society.
And, of course, with Tom Bugspray delay, I mean, I just hope that, you know, they've got a bill that's sponsored by a gentleman who is Alan Mulahan.
Right, 1st District Congressman from West Virginia.
Right, and it's H-131.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll guarantee you they are going to try with that, since they're evenly deadlocked on the Ethics Committee. In other words, they can't, you know, as you pointed out, I think, the other night, there's a chance there that perhaps they can get some ethics back in government. And once with the return of ethics, or for some types, hopefully, there may come some type of fiscal, not only accountability, but responsibility. And then they need to start, you know, removing some of these people.
Well, I agree with you. And in fact, the Miami Herald had an interesting editorial. They referred to Tom DeLay's antics as, what was it, institutional corruption. In other words, the corruption, that the filth that is Tom DeLay runs all the way through the ranks of the Republican Congress. The argument is that every single Republican in the House of Representatives has been tarred and deservedly so by the same brush that is tarring Tom DeLay. They are all of that ilk.
Well, we certainly got a mess up there, and I'll guarantee you one thing. If this thing is not corrected quickly, and we don't have 4 years to do it.
No, we got a year and a half. We got a year and a half because if we don't take the House back and the Senate, well, it's the only thing standing between America and the downfall of America.
Well, an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
I don't think that Rasputin could have done as much damage to the Romanov dynasty as these people have done to this country.
Oh, and to the Constitution. Jim, we got to roll. Thanks. Bye. And time for our bottom of the hour news break with a little update from Carl Mack, followed by the Workers' Independent News Service. And John did print this article out for me, and just what I can browse of it so far. Lord, Jim's right. It's pretty horrifying. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The Senate Judiciary Committee has passed a bill that would make filming or taping movies inside a theater a felony. The bill is intended to stop the practice of film piracy, in which major release movies are videotaped while playing in theaters and mass-produced on DVDs and video cassettes or released on the Internet. Tom Winter, a lobbyist for the Motion Picture Association of America, told the committee that film piracy costs the industry millions of dollars each year, and one person could devastate the market for a motion picture. The Senate version of the bill would make film piracy punishable by a fine of $500 to $1,000 or a prison term of 1 to 10 years or both for first offense. State police have issued a warning to local retailers, watch out for bad checks. Police say a man entered the Maple Fork Go-Mart Saturday and successfully passed a stolen check. The suspect was captured on the store's surveillance camera. He's described as a white male, about 5'8" to 5'10" inches tall, with a stocky build and between 30 to 40 years old. He was seen driving away in a dark blue or black-colored pickup truck. Police say the checks were stolen from a trash can in the Beaver area. They say there were also attempts to pass the stolen checks at retailers in Fayette County. They also say retailers and banks should check for positive ID and write the information on the check. They also recommend that when a checking account is closed, the old checks should be shredded. Wyoming County Highway was partially blocked by a 100-ton rock slide for almost 24 hours. Division Highway supervisors say the slide covered the northbound lane of State Route 16, Welch-Pineville Road, from 2:30 Sunday afternoon to 10 o'clock yesterday morning. DOH crews removed on the scene overnight. No one was injured. The boulders were moved off the road and onto the berm by the mountainside. That's the news. Here's the forecast then for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy. Tonight becoming mostly cloudy. Slight chance of snow showers late tonight, low in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, cloudy. Chance of snow in the morning. Then a chance of snow with a slight chance of rain by Wednesday afternoon. Tomorrow's high near 40. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Thousands of hotel workers represented by Unite here in San Francisco continue to struggle with hotel owners over settlement of a fair contract for the workers. Unite here Local 2 Communications Director Valerie Lapin says that health care, pensions, and pay raises are issues that remain unresolved in on-and-off talks with hotel management.
We've been at the bargaining table on and off, but we're still quite a distance apart on some major issues, particularly in the area of health care.
San Francisco's mayor supports the workers.
The mayor is boycotting the hotels. He has been honoring the boycott since during the lockout.
Lapin says 8,000 hotel workers in all are affected by the current contract negotiations. There was a strike and lockout last fall at San Francisco hotels, and since then, Lapin says a boycott against 14 luxury hotels and their chains has been underway. Lapin says that's the best way the public can support the Unite Here hotel workers.
We just ask people to continue to not patronize those 14 hotels, and if you want a list of those hotels, you can find it at our website at unitehere.org.
Walmart is seeking sympathy for its constitutional rights. The retail giant claimed that a class action lawsuit filed against it by 1.5 million former and current female employees over sex discrimination violates its constitutional rights. Because the suit is being filed nationally, Walmart argues it will be deprived of its right to defend itself against each woman's claim, and that the courts should allow suits only on a store-by-store basis. Walmart's arguments undercuts the entire concept of class action lawsuits, which are designed to group plaintiffs together into one lawsuit by a shared concern. It would also make it extremely hard for employees to take collective action on a national level against the company, and would make it more difficult for individuals wishing to pursue legal action on a store-by-store basis. If Walmart has its way, it could open the door for other corporations to shake off class actions in the future, tilting the playing field further towards corporate interests.
The Machinists Union was scheduled to meet Monday with United Airlines and the Federal Pension Guarantee Benefits Corporation. The federal agency is reportedly about to take over United's pension system for thousands of ground workers. No word yet on results of those meetings. Here's today's Dow Bob report. According to Families USA, 51 million Americans with health insurance spent one-tenth of their income on health care. Every 30 seconds, an American files bankruptcy after having a health problem. When big health bills cause bankruptcy, 3 in 4 people affected have health insurance at the onset of the illness. Nearly half of all American bankruptcies are health care cost-related. And between 2000 and 2004, health care premiums paid by workers rose nearly 3 times faster than average U.S. earnings. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Here's Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. 21 minutes before 8 o'clock. I just read this editorial from U.S. News and World Report. Jim's right. It's horrifying. To repeat some of the numbers he mentioned, among Bush's proposed cuts, and remember, please, as he goes around the country lying his stupid rear end off shamelessly, please remember he didn't inherit budget problems. He came into office with the federal budget in the black by large numbers. And no, it wasn't 9/11 either, monkeys, okay? Go back to the there's a headline, Bart Kopp runs it from time to time at bartkopp.com, from September the 10th, 2001, no relief in sight, talking about the economy going in the toilet. This is Bush's baby, and he doesn't want to bathe it, he wants to drown it. But listen to some of these numbers. Among the proposed cuts, 12% reduction in elementary and secondary education programs, 14% drop in spending on Medicaid, 20% cut for clean water and clean air, Head Start slashed by $3.3 billion, and 118,000 fewer kids would be covered by 2010. Cuts in the program that subsidizes nutritional assistance to low-income pregnant women and nursing mothers.
that number gets number of women gets cut by 740,000. And those aren't numbers. Those are people. Where are the pro-lifers again? Where are they? Why don't they have the pitchforks and the torches out marching on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Why? Because they're not pro-life at all. They're just pro-fetus. They don't care. You know, because they're Republicans, they don't give a tinker's damn what happens after the baby's born. We've been down this road 1,000 times. Meanwhile, highway spending goes up, and the farm subsidy program, you know, the part that that pays the giant agribusinesses, don't get that warm and fuzzy feeling when you hear farm subsidy, okay? It's not going to little mom-and-pop farmers out the road. It goes to ConAgra. It goes to Monsanto. It goes to Archer Daniels Midland. That kind of farm subsidies, all right? Do you understand? They go up. Meanwhile, if you're paying attention, this isn't from the article, but it's something I noticed the other day. While the farm subsidies go up, guess what comes down? Because you do remember, don't you, that food stamps are part of the Department of Agriculture budget? Of course you do. I have one of the smartest talk radio audiences in the country. You know that. Food stamps come out of the Department of Agriculture budget. Guess what gets cut? Monsanto, corporate farming, subsidies go up. Food stamps to feed poor people, sorry, they get cut. How do you feel about that? The fake Christians out there, the people that believe that George Bush is a Christian. How do you feel about taking food off the table of the poor? Want to jump out there and play a little quick game of what would Jesus do on that one, Sunshine? He wouldn't take food out of the mouths of hungry babes. But that's okay. You voted for it. You Bush voters. Thanks. On behalf of poor children, let me thank you. I'm so glad you're that moral. What's your cholesterol rating, Bush voter? Huh? What's your LDL versus HDL ratio? Have another bite of fat. You smoke another cigarette. And for God's sakes, when it comes time for your last thought, think about the children that you voted to harm. Do it. It goes on and on and on. 20% cut for clean water and clean air. Yeah, who needs that? We're not interested in that, are we? Nah, of course not. But here's the fun part. You know, as is the case with any coward, the real harm gets done after he runs away. As Mort Zuckerman writes, the real cost of the president's program soars after he leaves office. The prescription drug program, remember when they said it was going to be, $300 and something odd billion? Turns out to be $724 billion in the first decade. And they had their White House bean counter perjure himself in front of Congress, and still not a word's been said about it. Costs are going to go for the prescription drug bill are going from $37 billion a year to $110 billion a year, and it's that way with so many of these programs. I don't envy whoever winds up being president in 2008, because there is going to be a mess to clean up of monumental proportions, and some of this may turn out to bring to fruition and make true the dreams of people like that ugly little fascist Grover Norquist, who said of the federal government that our forefathers framed in 1791, you know, people like Adams and Jefferson and Madison, those guys. He says of the federal government, he wants to drown it in the bathtub. Those are his words, not mine. So sleep tight tonight, Bush voter, because we know what you really think of America now. We know what you really think.
we know that we wouldn't trust you at our backs. Certainly not in a dark alley, and not even during the bright of day we wouldn't trust you. Bunch of egg suckers. This is amazing. The debt projections exclude the cost of Bush's second term agenda. They add over $5 trillion to the deficit over the next decade by making his tax cuts for the rich permanent. That's $1 trillion. Social Security piratization, first decade, $1.5 trillion. $3.5 trillion in the second decade, possibly more. And this doesn't even count war. War is a la carte. Imagine that. And, you know, we, to the extent that we still have a free press in America, you think we're the only ones reading this? You think they don't translate things like this into Mandarin or Cantonese? You think the Chinese government, upon whom we have hung billions and billions of dollars in bad paper, isn't reading this too? If you think that, well, you're probably a Republican. That's the only explanation for that kind of what do they use in the psychology business? That's magical thinking. No, they're not hearing that somewhere else. The whole world hears it. The whole world knows what those moral values voters did to us last November. But again, what I said to Jim, I stand absolutely by. I certainly do. We can sit here and talk about numbers. We can talk about what the real harm is that George Bush is doing to America with every day he remains in that office. The real harm he has intended for this nation, that un-American draft dodger. We can talk about it until our faces turn blue. But they might be talking about this essay in Beijing. They might be talking about that essay in Riyadh. We've hung some bad paper on the Saudis, too. They might be talking about it in the Diet in Tokyo. I'll tell you where they're not talking about it. They're not talking about it in the right-wing Republican circles of America. Take the chance. Go see if James Dobson, monster, go see if he's got anything about it on his website. See if James Robinson has anything about it on his. See if Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson has anything on their websites. Of course they don't. No, what they've got on their website is as follows. A judge ruled Monday that California's ban on gay marriage is unconstitutional, a legal milestone that, if upheld on appeal, would open the way for the most populous state to follow Massachusetts in allowing same-sex couples to wed. Judge Richard Kramer of San Francisco County's trial-level superior court likened the ban to laws requiring racial segregation in schools and said there appears to be, quote, no rational purpose, unquote, for denying marriage to gay couples. Go there now. Call me and tell me. That real twisted pervert Fred Phelps, ordained Southern Baptist minister Fred Phelps of the Borough Baptist Church in Kansas. Go to his website. Nothing about destroying the lives of American families there with Bush's budget policies. No, sorry. But I'm sure there's a press release talking about he and how his weird little cult will be out on some corner somewhere protesting the faggots getting married in San Francisco. At issue were a 1977 law that defined marriage as, quote, a personal relation arising out of a civil contract between a man and a woman, unquote, and a voter-approved measure in 2000 that amended the law to say more explicitly, quote, only marriage between a man and a woman is valid or recognized in California, unquote. And, of course, conservative leaders are already outraged. They're outraged. They've got their little monkey bat wings out, and they're flapping back and forth, and they're fairly hovering above the ground in their consternation and anger and righteous indignation. But listen to listen to what they ruled. This Judge Richard Kramer. He cited Brown versus Board of Education. That ought to be fun for the right wing. They've never liked Brown versus Board of Education anyway. Do you remember Jim Crow, the guy that ran against Warren McGraw in the last primary season, said Brown versus Board of Education was wrongly decided and was bad law? Judge Kramer said, citing Brown versus Board of Education, quote, the idea that marriage-like rights without marriage is adequate smacks of a concept long rejected by the courts, separate but equal. I think he's got him. I think he may have him. Meanwhile, though, like I said, they're just burned up. There's Liberty Council President Matthew Staver. Liberty Council, you know, that whenever you see Liberty, that means that it involves the Jerry Falwell bunch, that wonderful school of higher learning that was bailed out by the Reverend Sun Myung Moon. Liberty Council President Matthew Staver said, for a single judge to rule that there is no conceivable purpose for preserving marriage as one man and one woman is mind-boggling. Well, maybe to his, you know. Seems to make pretty good sense to me. So how tiny is this guy's mind that it gets boggled so easily? This decision will be gasoline on the fire of the pro-marriage movement in California as well as the rest of the country. Think about it. Yeah, what's going to happen? I mean, you know, you got your nice Southern Baptist married couple. They're living there. And a gay married couple moves in next door. What? Is good Mr. Southern Baptist husband going to run out on his way? Honey, I'm out of here. I see the gay lifestyle, and the gay marriage is destroyed. It's destroyed our marriage. I want to be like them. Is that what that's what they're talking about when they say it's going to destroy marriage? They're saying that their heterosexuality is not strong enough to stand. Oh. Of course, it's not at all surprising. You know, listen to some of these good Southern Republicans. Listen to Lindsey Graham. I mean, come on. So, you know, that's what they're upset about now. They don't care. And they're going to give him a pass. Just like the people that emailed me some months back telling me about how they filed an FCC complaint on Flush Flimball for some middle-of-the-afternoon shenanigans. Not on this station. And they filed it through ParentsTV.org, the little propaganda site of L. Brent Bozell III, or Trippy, as I like to call him, Trippy Bozell. They guarantee that your complaint goes right to the FCC. But guess what? It didn't happen. They squash him. If it's anything that has to do with the right-wing agenda, they squash it. They're dishonest, they're hypocrites, they're nasty, they're vile, and they are danger to America like nothing, quite frankly, like nothing since probably the McCarthy witch hunts and House Un-American Activities Commission. These are dangerous, dangerous people. So no, there isn't any talk about the budget shortfall being the same amount of money as the gross household income of all of America, $47 trillion. No, there's not going to be any talk about that in the right wing because they don't talk about things like that because George Bush gets a pass for whatever he does. There is a contingent of the right wing that wants to use nuclear arms in the Middle East. Okay? That's the level of hypocrisy that we're dealing with here. Oh, Lord, it's revolting. But that's what the conversation's going to be about now. Anything but the real news. The Michael Jackson trial. Oh, look, the jury's out on Bobby Blake. The faggots are going to get married in California, and it's going to bring an end to all the Christian marriages. So we won't have any talk about George's drunken sailor spending spree. And we won't talk about the Bush birth tax, $40-some-odd thousand for every child born right now in America. Nope, not going to talk about that. Nope, we're going to talk about gay marriage some more. They're going to find a way to make this stretch all the way to 08 so that they can keep on hammering on it. And just, if the right wing got their way,
I mean, if you could really, like I said, when you consider the way the Klansmen talk when civil society isn't around, if you could catch the right wing talking, if you could catch the Falwells and the Robertsons talking, can't you very well imagine what it is? You know what it is. They talk about the showers. And they talk about the ovens. And some of them do it in polite society. Look at that sicko, that psychotic, that madman Fred Phelps, saying that America needs another 9/11. America needs a tsunami to hit it. Because some people don't express themselves sexually the way he wants them to. Weird, weird, weird. And yeah, that is the way they talk. There are people they'd like to round up and have killed, and then America would be the America that they want. The only problem is, sooner or later, they start feasting on themselves because they are, at their very essence, cannibalistic. We've got to go to the top of the hour news when we come back. Oh, look, another happy gun story. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is a warning. It's cold and flu season, and antibiotics don't work for viruses like a cold or the flu. Taking them will not make you feel better or help you get back to work faster. Antibiotics only fight bacteria, not viruses that cause colds and the flu. Using antibiotics when you don't need them puts you at risk of getting a bad bacterial infection that is resistant to treatment. It's called an antibiotic-resistant infection. If you get sick with a cold or the flu this season, ask your healthcare provider what's best. Learn what you can do to relieve your symptoms and get well. Antibiotics are strong medicines. Keep them that way. Get smart. Know when antibiotics work. Be alert this cold and flu season. For more information, call 1-888-246-2675 or visit www.cdc.gov/getsmart. This health message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, CDC, and FDA.
You can forget report card day.
How was school?
Yeah, my mom and dad sure didn't.
Why don't we take a look at that report card?
Can Jimmy come out and play?
Oh, not this month. He'll be doing homework with his dad.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
I didn't know aging would cause my body to process medications differently. I learned the hard way, but you don't have to. Call 1-800-662-HELP for the free brochure, As You Age, a guide to aging, medicines, and alcohol. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Headed for a low tonight around 28, so back into the freezer we head with a 6 in 10 chance of light snow, generally less than an inch accumulation as we look at low pressure moving into the area. For tomorrow, high in the mid-30s, we'll have a 6 in 10 chance of some snow showers, again, less than an inch accumulation. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy into the upper 20s again and 42 with a slight chance of rain on Thursday.
WWNR, Beckley.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back, 6 minutes after eight. I'm Bob. It's Tuesday. Let's have some fun. Now, we ran all of those numbers, we talked about, cutting food stamp monies, cutting money for, women and infant children, what, 720,000, 770,000 pregnant women who will go without nutritional help thanks to Georgia's nasty little spending habits. and his tax dodges for the rich. Disgusting. Now, I got something here from the Houston Chronicle, the Washington Bureau. The author is a fellow by the name of David Ivanovich. Now, we've got a budget problem, right? Boy, do we have a budget problem. And we have all these unethical Republicans in the House and the Senate doing their damnedest to put the screws to the middle class again. Here's another one you won't hear the Republicans talking about. You know that little dust-up that we have going on over in Iraq? You know, that little tiff. You know, where freedom's on the march. And the liberal media won't tell the happy stories. You know, Baghdad, where they have 5 hours of electricity a day. And Fallujah. Well, Fallujah, which apparently translates in, is Guernica, translated into Arabic. That, you know, that thing, that Iraq thing, where, you know, everybody's got a purple finger and they're getting frisbees and wheat checks and democracy, even though, you know, freedom is wading through knee-deep blood. Iraq needed fuel. Halliburton Company was ordered to get it there quickly. So the Houston-based contractor... Now, listen up, okay? Listen up. You're going to love this. When we talk, you know, remember, we had to put the wood to American consumers last week with that god-awful bankruptcy bill in the Senate because they were running up credit card debts and then just trying to get away with writing it all off. That's just dishonest. Remember, you know, that bankruptcy bill in the Senate? Right. So the Halliburton was contracted to get fuel to Iraq. They needed cooking and heating fuel. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been to a rodeo and a church social and a carnival midway, and I've never seen the likes of this. Halliburton, I can't, but Halliburton build. The Pentagon, which is just bug spray, okay? The Pentagon, no. Halliburton build you, build me, you know, us, the people, you know, the payday to payday people. Halliburton build us, get this, $27.5 million to ship, maybe some of you have already seen this, to ship $82,100 worth of cooking and heating fuel. Listen again. $82,100 worth of cooking and heating fuel was shipped into Iraq at the cost to us of $27.5 million. I can't do math on the fly, but what does that work out to in transport costs? Mr. Ivanovich writes, in the latest revelation about the company's oft-criticized performance in Iraq, a Pentagon audit report disclosed yesterday showed that Halliburton subsidiary Kellogg Burn and Root, or Kellogg Brown and Root spent $82,100 to buy liquefied petroleum gas, better known as LP gas, in Kuwait, and then they jacked the rate up to you and me 335 times that number. A defense contract audit agency noted in the report, I love the way these guys write,
it is illogical that it would cost $27,514,833 to deliver $82,100 in LPG fuel. It is illogical, Mr. Spock. Fascinating. Jeez. I mean, you know, you got to give it to them. They worked it. They worked out the numbers.
It costs, you know, look, get the map out. You can drive from Kuwait City to Baghdad in the time that you can drive from here to the beach.
It is illogical that it would cost $27,514,833 to deliver $82,100 in LPG fuel.
You out there, Gary? How much is 82 grand in LP gas in a truck? Is that one truck or two? Two and a half? Do I hear two? I got two and a half. Do I hear three? Okay, I got three. Three and a half. Do I have four? No, that's way, no. 26. I mean, I could understand it if we were actually going to Myrtle, because that would mean I was stopping at JR Cigar, and I could drop $27 million bucks at JR Cigar.
Amen.
Okay, got an amen from the cigar contingent over here. $27,514,833 to deliver 82 grand in LP gas. I mean, we used to have propane in the house where we lived, and, you know, during the winter, that we could run through one of those 500-gallon tanks in, you know, like January. And I complained. But bless their hearts, Southern States just drove right out with their little truck, and they filled the tank and left, and $27,514,833. My head is spinning. Is it greed? Did they think they wouldn't get caught? I'm betting they thought they wouldn't get caught because nobody seems to be raising a stink about the $8.8 billion they lost in the sofa of the Coalition Provisional Authority in Baghdad. Is it just me, or has L. Paul Bremer still not been called up on charges to account for that money? Great, googly moogly. If there was $8.8 billion missing from an account during the Clinton administration, Ken Starr would be dragging $100 bills through every seedy trailer park in Arkansas. And you know that's the truth. I've said before on this show that when you get stolen from, when you get ripped off, there's an element about it that feels like you've been violated. I feel really violated right now. And I don't even worship money. I just love my country. Again, would there be, do you suppose that Henry Hyde would be crying that the flag was falling if he was to find out that during a Democratic presidential administration, $27,514,833 had been spent delivering $82,000 worth of propane? I think so. What do you think? Can you make sense of this? What's the right-wing answer for this?
Well, you know, it's a very dangerous area. Do you know how expensive those mercenaries are that accompanied that one gas truck? Those are expensive mercenaries. And then there were the hookers.
Lord God, Billy Bob. You know, I used to actually believe Republicans when they said, you know, we're going to be more careful with the money. We can't run around giving it to poor people or anything because they'll just go out and buy food with it. This is fiscal responsibility. This is this is your Republican Party. Write it down. 27,514,833.00. And that's how much it cost to deliver $82,000 of LP gas. I feel like my eyeballs are going to roll back into the back of my head. You get better odds than that in Vegas. Hell, you can get a better return on that from a loan shark. What would that $27 million have done over there? We could have bought off every bandit between Basra and Baghdad for that money. And had leftovers. Where'd it go? That just... You make sense of it. I can't. Okay, it's dangerous there. And people, the Halliburton's had people die there. I'm sorry. But I don't think the workers' comp was factored into this. By the way, it's not just that. There's $61 million in possible fuel overcharges. But that's only the first 5 months of Halliburton's fuel supply assignment. Does it bother you? Bothers the hell out of me. This just... I mean, this makes me think that the Pentagon's on acid. This makes me think that Halliburton really is little... I was going to say low-rent ripoff artists. There's nothing low-rent about these guys. They just steal openly in broad daylight. Oh, God. That takes my breath away. And these are the conservatives. And I'm a tax and spend liberal. Gotcha. Let me get back to you on that. I've kept people waiting long enough. Let's go back to the phones. 252-6200 is the number. 800-620-9967 if you're outside the area. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm all right.
What are you doing, man? Making people mad tonight? Or?
I mean,
Jim's the only guy that ain't had guts enough to call, which you're scaring people.
Nah, I'm just I'm being selfish right now, frankly.
What, telling the truth? Yeah, okay. God.
Have you got $27 million laying around Halliburton can borrow?
No, but I keep telling you, man, you got to call Paul Bremer. Just ask him, go through the drawer, desk drawer, you know.
Shake out the sofa.
I don't know. Maybe it's in that pair of pants that you were going to take to the dry cleaners, but you didn't, or something. I don't know.
You know,
$9 billion.
Yeah, lost it playing those little quarter sliders in the little general, I guess.
$9 billion makes a lot of change, you know.
Yeah.
That's a lot of change.
That's a lot of dinars or whatever.
Yeah, what do they use over there? Dinars?
No, I think the new currency is called the bush. And it breaks into, like, there's 100 Bremers to the bush.
Okay. You got an answer for everything.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've seen the money. I mean, it's George sitting there with a little laurel wreath across his head. It says, Hail Caesar, you know.
Well, see, here's what's happening, man. You're making too much sense, you know. The people are finally realizing, you know, like what I like to always ask people, what's the purpose of government? I mean, what's the primary purpose of government?
Provide for the common defense, make sure the mail runs.
Does that mean...
Look out for you and me, not rip us off.
Could that translate to the welfare of the people that they govern?
Gosh, yes.
Oh, God, but welfare is a bad word.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, well, you know, that promotes fiscal irresponsibility.
Yeah. Exactly. We can't, you know, if we're not giving it all to Halliburton.
Yeah, I mean, the next time, you know, and I watch C-SPAN from time to time, Wayne. I want to be viewing the next time some good for nothing Republican stands up in the House or the Senate and says, "We're fiscally responsible Republicans," because, you know, I bet you he's going to jump to the left real quick because that lightning bolt's going to go. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
going to
have to.
I,
you know, those people got a lot of lightning bolts coming. No, I don't know what the machine must be stuck or something.
No.
But man, when they get that fixed, you know,
God's busy watching basketball or something. You know.
I don't know. It's amazing. We've been accused of, you know, we're accused of all kinds of things, and I don't want to mention any names or anything. But there's one particular gentleman who I respect. You know, he's a good man and stuff.
Yes.
But he's confused. I think he's just confused. He switched from Democrat to Republican. He thinks that's really a great thing and all that jazz.
Yeah.
But he was kind of alluding to how Democrats are, they never see anything wrong, like with Robert Byrd. You know, doesn't matter what Robert Byrd does or says, the Democrats are behind them.
Yeah.
Well, what about these people?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, these people lied to get us in a war. They lie about everything. You can't trust them about anything. I mean, they lied about how much Medicare is going to cost. They lost $9 billion in Iraq. That doesn't matter. They lie about their war records. They lie about everything.
Well, that's because
they lie about Social Security. Da, da, da.
Yeah, but see, it's not lying if a Republican does it, Wayne.
Well, I guess it isn't.
It's speaking the will of God or something. I don't know.
Right, and I really, you know, Dr. Bill's a good man. He takes an awful lot of abuse, You know,
true.
If I was standing somewhere and somebody said to me, like they said to Dr. Bill, the problem with you liberals.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the guy that wanted to knock Ted Kennedy on his ass?
Yeah.
He might get it first. I mean, really, what kind of attitude is that? You know, and then you turn around and accuse me of the same thing.
I know.
You know, and that's their biggest, the victim defense.
Oh, I know. And you know, it's the liberal media's fault.
Yeah, the liberal media. Yeah.
Which one?
You, the liberal media and you liberal. You know, don't call me no liberal.
Look.
I might be old, but.
Hey, you know what, Wayne?
I mean, you know,
I'm not inclined to steal, okay? But I got to tell you, if I was a thief,
yeah.
I wouldn't have the stones to steal $27,514,833 to deliver 82 grand's worth of LP gas. I don't have it in me. I'm not that brassy. I'm not that bold.
But apparently you don't understand our financing methods or whatever they come up with on...
You know, how much gall does it take to have an auditor look at you and say, Mr. Bremer, buddy, you're down $9 billion. Well, what happened to it? Don't know. Don't have the foggiest. Don't have the faintest idea. You know, you sent it all over here in cash. It was sitting around here for a while, but, you know,
I remember.
I went out to dinner and came back. It was gone.
And we say, all right, Paul.
Yeah, we love that answer. Yeah, here's your right. Here's your Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yeah, the Medal of Freedom.
Yeah, I tell you what, if you steal $18 billion, we'll give you the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Yeah, give me a break. And I mean, these people, you know, come on, look, it's all coming home to roost, too. Everything, you know, now it's coming because, like I said, none of these people thought about it before, but now their wife can't work because. Daycare is not going to be subsidized anymore. But that wasn't a government program for them, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to close the airport, you know.
Well, and, you know, here's...
Some people think that's a great idea. You know, well, close. If we can't support that airport, well, close.
Well, you know what? I'll bet you that airport would be a little bit closer to being in the black if we had a regulated airline industry.
Yeah, it would be. You know, but that's
there I go, word. Repeating heresy again.
Regulation.
Yeah. Well, dig this, Wayne. This is part of that essay that Jim was telling me about. Yeah. I didn't read this on the air. According to the GAO, you know, the Government Accounting Office, bipartisan, you know, they're just number crunchers. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe the same people that found the missing 27 million. Never mind.
Are they looking for the 9 billion?
God, don't know.
We need somebody on that case. That's all.
We're going to, well, dig this. It's going to take double-digit growth over the next 75 years. That means 10% or better.
Or better.
It's going to take double-digit growth in the United States over the next 75 years to pay off George Bush's current debt. And that is impossible. Because even the 1990s boom, you know what growth was?
What?
3.2%.
Over how many years?
Well, over
10 years?
No, over the 8 years of the Clinton administration, the boom.
What's the, when they talk about Social Security and the market over 25 years, what's the average on that, you know?
No, I don't.
I mean,
it's not 12%. It's not 14%.
No, it isn't. Where do they come up? I mean, you know, well, they make the numbers fit whatever they want to say. It's not reality. But.
No, and frankly, you don't want to live in a world that is experiencing 15% growth every year. You don't.
No, yeah, actually.
Because that is growth at a level that approaches cancer.
Yes. That's even worse than 15% inflation.
Well, yeah, they're separate sides of a very of the same very sharp sword.
Yes. Yes, they are.
So, you know, George Bush just, you know, well, you know, America voted for him so that, you know, gay people couldn't get married. You know, thank God they did that. I'm so proud of
me too, man. I feel a lot safer now.
Well, yeah. I mean, my marriage is more secure. Don't know how, but it is, apparently.
No,
that's what the cult members keep telling me. But, you know, like I said, never mind the missing 27 million. We'll just give George a pass on that.
Okay, but I don't know. I missed something. I didn't hear the whole show. What's the $27
million? Oh, no. That's the $27 million it costs to take $82,000 worth of gas to Iraq.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, do you understand that? Here's an argument. I forget who it was, but someone that kind of thinks more like this show than another show tried to tell a guy that the only reason we went there for was oil.
Yeah, right.
And his argument was, well, if we went there for oil, why is gas $2.10 a gallon and blah, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I got his answer. Because they don't care about you, pal.
Yeah.
They want you to pay. What they care about is themselves.
Well, not only that, who says the gas is coming here? It's not about the oil. It's about controlling the oil.
That's what it's about, buddy.
And, you know, the Chinese need oil, and they're holding a bunch of bad paper on us right now,
they
Wayne.
Are.
So, you know, when they say...
And we think we got the upper hand.
Right, because we've got... Hey, look, do you remember... And all this stuff's so easy to forget, Wayne. Do you remember when Chicken George first took office and the Chinese shot down our spy plane? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And do you remember how George Bush said, give us back our plane or I'll apologize again?
I do.
And then he did apologize again, and he said, really... pretty please with sugar on it, and I'll kiss your bottom. Please give us our plane back after you've stripped it of all the technology. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, you know, we do. We've hung a lot of bad paper on China in the years since then. So now it's gotten to the point where when China says froggy, George Bush turns green and starts hopping.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, you want to know why we're paying $2.10 a gallon for gasoline? Because the Chinese aren't.
That's exactly right.
That gasoline.
But that's an easy trade-off for George.
Well, sure. Everything's an easy trade-off. Everything's an easy trade-off for George Wayne. He's a coward and a traitor. He knows nothing about what it means to love America.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't give a damn about the troops he's gotten slaughtered. You know, you can go to MSNBC. They've got a heartrending article. You know, there's 1,500 dead Americans from Iraq. And they've estimated that something on the order of 1,042 children have lost their mommy or their daddy as a result of those 1,500 dead Americans. Do you think when George Bush was standing there saying, you know, he tried to kill my daddy and I've lost my patience, do you think he was thinking about the people, the little babies that wouldn't have mommies and wouldn't have daddies? Hell no! The man doesn't have a conscience. He doesn't have any morals. He's a psychopath. He's a sociopath. He doesn't think about those things. He thinks about what he wants, and that's all.
That's exactly.
He's a monster.
And this is, you know, he's got a little notebook and he pulls it out. This is what Dick told me to do.
Yeah.
And that's all it.
You're right. Hey, we got to take our break, Wayne.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Have a good evening, man.
See ya. All right, news update from Carl Mack, followed by Jim Hightower's Ever Trenchant Commentaries. Then we'll come back. Your calls at 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Raleigh County man pleaded guilty yesterday to a crime for which he had not yet been indicted. Thomas Dyer of Bolt had been originally charged with forgery and uttering. Yesterday, he signed a waiver of indictment form before pleading guilty to one count of daytime burglary. Dyer admitted he broke into the home of his aunt and uncle to steal a book of checks. He wrote a total of $260 on the checks and racked up $340 in service fees. The defendant told Circuit Judge H.L. Kirkpatrick that he'd been indicted, or rather addicted, to OxyContin, cocaine, hydrocodone, and other drugs. Dyer faces 1 to 3 years in prison or up to a year in jail. He could also be fined $500 on the day of his sentencing. Rising jail costs have led Wyoming County officials to consider an alternative sentencing program for nonviolent offenders. Prosecutor Todd Hawk says projected jail costs for the fiscal year ending June 30th are about $700,000, and that's compared to an annual jail budget of about $200,000 just a few years ago. To offset some of the costs, Wyoming County is applying for a $110,000 grant to start a day reporting center for nonviolent offenders who are carefully screened. A routine traffic stop in Mount Hope this weekend led to the arrest of a man for possessing stolen material. State police stopped Jeffrey Armstrong of Scarborough around 11 o'clock Saturday night for improper registration on his vehicle. During a pat-down, police found several suspicious items inside a Kroger bag in Armstrong's possession. They included a blasting cap, a clear tube with a white substance, and a smaller tube with a red liquid. The items were identified as a blasting cap detonator and a Kinetac binary explosive. That's the news. Now here are the forecast for this evening. Partly cloudy, but then later tonight, increasing cloudiness. Some snow showers move in late in the night, low tonight, upper 20s. Then for tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Chance of snow showers in the morning and snow mixing with rain or turning into rain by tomorrow afternoon, high near 40. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
How tough are you? West Virginia Sports Promotions presents the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. This exciting event is being co-sponsored by 84 Lumber, Hometown Subaru, and Charter Media. It's coming April 1st and 2nd to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. Up to $5,000 in prize money and Tough Man jackets to be awarded, plus an opportunity to advance to the World Championships and fight on national TV. No entry fee. Divisions for men and women. To sign up, you must be 18 or older, an area resident, no pro fights, and limited amateur experience. Just tough local guys and gals. If you think you're tough enough, call 1-800-296-3897. That's 1-800-296-3897. It's the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. Coming April 1st and 2nd to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. Tickets go on sale March 12th. Tough men, tough women, and ring girls, sign up now. Wimps need not apply.
Celebrate the risen Lord this Easter Sunday, March 27th, at the First Baptist Church of Beckley. Enjoy a free concert featuring Kim and Brian Tabor at the 10:45 a.m. service. The public is welcome and invited to attend. Easter Sunday, March 27th, at the First Baptist Church of Beckley.
Do you think George W. has ever even visited the real world? Or has he spent his entire life in the bubble of special privilege to which he was born and in the political bubble maintained so carefully by his White House handlers? Take the economy, which he keeps telling us is fantastic. Even in the rare case when economic reality confronts him, George doesn't get it. He recently flew to Omaha for one of his made-for-TV Conversations with the People. Although the people allowed in are always a hand-picked rent-a-choir for his political message of the day. On this day, however, reality inadvertently intruded. A single mother named Mary told George that she has a young, mentally challenged son and two daughters. Bush blurted out, "Fantastic," cheerfully telling the audience that Mary has the hardest job in America, being a single mom. "Well, yes," Mary said, "but she also has to work three other jobs to make ends meet." From deep within his personal bubble, the effervescent president then exclaimed, "Fantastic," calling her experience uniquely American, as though she was offering up her family's hard reality as some sort of uplifting Horatio Alger tale. Then George made a little joke of her situation, asking if she gets any sleep. This would be either laughable or pathetic if it were not so vicious. Vicious in the sense that government policy, which could do something to benefit the millions of Marys in today's economy, instead is being shaped from within Georgia's bubble to do them more harm. Bush's budget, for example, cuts education, housing, and food programs, claiming that there's no money in the public treasury, while shoveling out $1.3 trillion in tax giveaways to America's richest people, who share Bush's bubble. This is Jim Hightower saying, our elitist leaders have lost all sense of economic morality. They can live in their bubble, but they can't hide in it, and the day is coming when the bubble will burst.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative. Pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
We're back. Just because I like to remind you when it turns out that I'm right or correct. Not right, correct. You know, we talked on Friday and then last night about the fact that the tragedy in Atlanta would not have happened had those deputies not been armed, you know, armed for purposes of shooting unarmed people because nobody else in that courthouse had guns. Guess what? For the arraignment of Mr. Brian Nichols today, no, did you notice this, John? No guns on the deputies. How about that? And you guys think I'm just making this up? I don't just say things. So there you have it. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Kyle held on through the break. Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Doing good.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. You know, I want to respond to Wayne's comments about me.
He didn't name anybody by name. Are you?
Well, I knew from his comment that he was talking to.
Okay.
First of all, yeah, I did change parties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was filling something out today. I didn't know that. I went up to the courthouse to ask for my card.
Mm-hmm.
They don't list your party on your registration card.
No, they don't.
I did not know that till this very day. Because, see, I want to be a card-carrying Republican. And, God, I can't do it. You know, all those years I thought I was a card-carrying Democrat.
Well, I'm checking here. Nope, it's not on mine either.
No.
It's in the book, but it's in the book.
Well, of course it is, but I just thought, the girl said, well, it doesn't appear on your card anyway, so it doesn't matter. At any rate, you know, I have a problem with you guys. You can disagree with the people that represent you and you vote for. Can you not do that?
Of course you can.
But we can't. We Republicans and we conservatives, we can't do that. We cannot disagree with the people we vote for. I do not agree with everything that George Bush says and does.
Okay, well, Kyle, let's make the short list, man. I mean, I'm not stopping you. Start disagreeing.
But on the other hand, I can also disagree with a Democrat that doesn't vote the way I think he should vote, and vote for him.
Sure. No fight out of me.
You know, and you guys are the ones, it's your, you know, I used to, and boy, it feels good not to say it. It's your party chairman, state of West Virginia, said, if you don't vote straight Democrat and you don't tote the party line, we don't want a part of it.
Well, no, it wasn't exactly that, Kyle. What he I think it's a fair question. If you're not going to vote for Democratic candidates, isn't it a little bit dishonest to call yourself a Democrat?
Not at all.
Okay, and explain how you conceive that.
Well, the way I conceive that is this. You vote for the candidate. You're registered Democrat for whatever reason it may be. And the main reason I was for so many years was the party was leading, you know, they represented my views, my opinions, and they swayed away from that.
You know, the funny thing is, though, Kyle, were you a Democrat in West Virginia, what, 20 years ago?
Yes.
Do you realize that the Democratic Party in West Virginia 20 years ago was more liberal than it is now?
No, I don't think so.
No, it absolutely was.
Define that. Explain it.
Well, in terms of programs for the poor, in terms of social legislation, you know, we got rid of the death penalty in West Virginia in 1965. That's pretty liberal. And we haven't, with the exception of attempts by people like this freak Overington, we haven't had any inclination to bring it back. We held fast on a woman's right to choose. For years and years and years. And the party that you were a proud member of was a lot more liberal than the party that you ran away from.
Well, and then our governor says, okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. If they pass the law to reinstate the death penalty, I'm going to sign it.
Yeah, that's disturbing.
That's not a liberal view. That's a conservative.
Because Joe Manchin is an extremely conservative Democrat. I don't think anyone's ever accused Joe of being a liberal.
Well, then,
I mean, I remember
come over to our side.
I remember how he tarred and feathered Charlotte Pritt in 1996 with that goofy, dirty campaign ad about how she was trying to teach sex education to second graders. You know, which was just an abject lie. I remember that.
So you're admitting that Joe Manchin is a conservative.
Yeah, I don't. I'm admitting it's not for me to admit, Kyle. He is what he is.
And you voted for him.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Because I had a choice between Joe Manchin and an idiot.
Okay.
You know, I just make it a point not to vote for idiots. And Monty Warner was a true blue all the way. You know. Beauty is only skin deep, but stupid runs clean to the bone, and I mean he was bone stupid.
And you also voted for a not-so-conservative but very liberal Democrat congressman that when this confrontation in Iraq, ran to the Middle East and stood up for
peace. Yes, he absolutely did. He stood up. And, you know, since it turns out that we were lied to about the whole war, Byrd's and Rahal's stance on the war, it turns out to be pretty doggone smart, and, you know, the egg is on the bloodthirsty people's faces.
So each one of there and they stand for our enemies.
No, they didn't stand for our enemies. They stood for America, you know, because remember, if you bother to read your Constitution, Kyle, you'll find that it says that the power to declare war shall be vested in Congress, not in some trigger-happy cowboy from the desert of Texas. So, yeah, Byrd, Congressman Rahal, Congressman Kucinich, about 60, 70, maybe 100 bold members of Congress from the House and a good number of senators, yeah, they stood up for peace because they didn't like the idea of Americans coming home in body bags for no good reason. Call them crazy. I agree with them.
Well, I don't understand your reason here.
What?
You can disagree with the way your candidate votes, but yet you're telling me I can't disagree with the way.
No, Kyle, I told you you can disagree. I said I'm sitting here, I'm waiting. Start disagreeing with George Bush. Give me the list, man. I mean, he's gonna shut down. He set it up so we can shut down the airport. I assume you disagree with that.
Obviously, I do, but he did not do that. He told us
really. He didn't submit the budget that kills out the money for small regional airports. He didn't do that. That was that other George Bush.
No, what he did was he said we have to be, come on, Bob, that airport doesn't support itself.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It does, you know, and does, no, wait, Kyle, I got a question for you, and I think you know the answer to it. Is everything, and you know, in Republic world, it is, everything's a matter of profit and loss. Does little Beckley deserve an opportunity to develop a transportation system? And does it, I mean, do we have shareholders here? Does it have to turn a profit? Is that the only thing that a Republican can see? Or does Beckley need an airport?
And what do we need an airport for? Because nobody's flying out of it.
Right. Because we've got an airline industry that's just financially destroyed itself by virtue of deregulation. You know, where I grew up, we had an airport very similar to what's here in Beckley. And when I was growing up and we had regulated airlines, there were planes in and out of there every day. Reagan came along. Deregulation came along.
Okay, I'll give you that, Bob.
So it all doesn't have to turn a profit, does it?
Okay, Bob. Now, listen, I'm giving you one here. I agree with you on that. I disagree with the deregulation of the airline industry and the trucking industry.
How do you feel about cutting pregnant women out of the nutrition program in the budget, Kyle? Do you agree with George on that or disagree?
You know, Bob, I don't really know what you're talking about here. You have to explain that to me.
Okay. Well, in George Bush's budget, let me see here. 740,000 women, low-income pregnant women and nursing mothers, are going to be cut out of a program that subsidizes nutritional assistance. Agree or disagree?
Bob, I'll tell you what. When our government has to subsidize anything.
Okay, how about knocking 118?
Okay,
you're dodging that one. How about 118,000? How about 118,000 fewer kids on Head Start?
Bob.
Agree or disagree?
Bob, I'm not dodging the question. You tell me I'm dodging the question. I'm not dodging the question.
Well, I'm just asking you. You said you're not free to disagree with George Bush. I'm giving you an opportunity, Kyle.
Bob.
770,000 pregnant and nursing mothers getting booted off of a nutritional assistance program. Agree or disagree?
Bob.
Do you think that, is it a good idea or is it a bad idea?
Bob, are you going to listen to me?
I'm waiting for your,
Kyle,
I'm not cutting you off. I we're having an exchange here. I asked you a question. You answer it. Agree or disagree?
I'm trying to answer the question. Okay? You going to let me do that?
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. When it comes to anything, subsidizing anything, that's not the job of the federal government to subsidize anything.
Okay, so then the government shouldn't be pro-life.
Well, let's get back.
Because we're subsidizing little babies nursing at their mother's breasts. Okay? That's what we're subsidizing, and government shouldn't subsidize anything, so we're not pro-life.
Let's get back to the point of the airport. Okay?
I think I just won, Kyle.
No. Listen to me. Let's get back to the thing of the airport. There is not enough traffic coming into and out of Beckley to support the airport being here. What are we going to do? I mean, you're Tom Cochran, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you go to Congress and say, this is the reason why we need an airport in Beckley. But, you know, the people in Beckley don't support the airport. But we want you to subsidize us so we can have an airport. Bob, I work in a business.
It depends on that airport.
Exactly. One of our offices is located in that area.
Yeah, and what a lovely little facility it is.
It's a tremendous facility. And Tom Cochran is a great
And we're just going to walk...
And we're job.
And because of Bush's budget, Kyle, we're just going to walk away from it and let the weeds start growing through the cement.
Well...
I mean, we're talking about a runway that can field aircraft that only one other airport in the state can handle. I mean, it's a great facility.
But, Bob, you have to have some you have to...
You have to have some interest, don't you?
Do what?
You have to have some interest.
You have to have some support for that airport. I don't want the airport to go away. My God, the airport goes away, and what am I going to do? But if we cannot make a legitimate argument,
Kyle,
the airport...
Do you know what I'm talking about when I say think outside the box?
Yes, I do.
Do you think that maybe we need to do some thinking outside the box on the airport? And I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm not being sarcastic, and this is not a trick question. Because we have approached this airport in Beckley in very conventional terms, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Is it Independence Air that flies in there?
No, it's Conair. Cogan Air.
Well, okay. Do we need to find ways to make air service more consumer friendly?
All right, Bob.
Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, Bob.
I mean, for instance, you know, how many travel agencies in Beckley are out there beating the street, putting together packages so that middle class mom and pop and babies and kids can maybe go and do a weekend in Washington, D.C. and see the Washington Monument and visit the Capitol and maybe go see Mr. Ray Hall and Mr. Bird and Mr. Rockefeller and go to the Smithsonian. You want to see that airport take off? There's a little idea for you.
Bob, let me give you a story. Sunday, I picked up a pilot and took him to Charleston. That pilot, the night before, was supposed to meet a flight in Beckley. A Cogan Air pilot was supposed to meet a flight in Beckley, take him to his plane that he needed to be to.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that with their Beckley office, he had to take a taxi that cost the company a major amount of money to get him to Charleston, where he could get a flight out of Charleston to get him to where he needed to be in, where was it? Somewhere in New York, in the state of New York.
Okay, this sounds like a failure on the part of the private sector.
Exactly, Bob.
But if you listen to the Republicans, Kyle, the private sector is the solution to all our problems.
No, Bob. No.
That's why we have to privatize Social Security. Because the private sector can do a lot better with Social Security than the government can, and the government's running it at 0.6% cost.
And it comes down to one more thing we talked about the other night. We talked about the situation with McDonald's thing, where they're farming out their drive-through thing. Communication.
Well, sure.
There is no communication.
But, no, seriously, coming back to what I said, though, Kyle, you want to save this airport? Make the airport useful. You know, you say, you know, the airport's dying because no one around here uses it. There's a reason. You know, it costs more to fly out of Beckley than it does to fly out of Charleston, and that's after you factor in the gas that you drive down there to fly and the parking fees. Why is that?
Bob, now, we're our county commission, three elected Democrats, You know what? When it comes time in the primary, I can't vote for those guys. I'm a Republican now.
Sure, you can.
I support all three of them.
You can't vote for them in the primary. No, you can't, but you can certainly vote for them in a general, because if I listen to the Republicans right, you vote for the man, not the party, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so there's no problem. You can vote for them. But, you know, I mean,
my thing is, okay, we got $250,000. Okay, let's find $250,000. And we could do that. We're a very wealthy county. We have some very wealthy people. Let's put $250,000 to save that airport. Bob, when this is the thing that George Bush came here and he said, and Dr. O'Brien said, this Social Security thing, it was not brought up during the election. Yes, it was. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You know, he said, you know, it was brought up during the election.
Well, you know, maybe he did, but see, as a Democrat, I wasn't allowed anywhere near a Bush event, so I can't verify that.
Oh,
Kyle, I got a roll. We're at the top of the hour. I enjoyed it, though. I hope we can save the airport. I'd like to. But again, it's going to take a little outside the box thinking. It's going to take making people want to fly. You know what? You get on a plane in Beckley. What is it? 30 minutes to D.C. You know, if it was financially reasonable, you think I wouldn't be on a plane on some sunny summer weekend if there was a travel agency around here promoting a package? Get a lot of like-minded Beckleyans together. That airline flies to a lot of different places, and there's interesting stuff to do there. Make it interesting for us to go there. Make it affordable for us to go there. Maybe there's the rub. Most of us are too busy working. Most of us are too busy working. Most of us are too busy going paycheck to paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. Had a look at the mall parking lot lately. Not a lot of people in it. Bush America. Welcome to it. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
I didn't know aging would cause my body to process medications differently. I learned the hard way, but you don't have to. Call 1-800-662-HELP for the free brochure, As You Age, a guide to aging, medicines, and alcohol. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Headed for a low tonight around 28, so back into the freezer we head with a 6 and 10 chance of light snow. Generally less than an inch accumulation as we look at low pressure moving into the area. For tomorrow, high in the mid-30s, we'll have a 6 and 10 chance of some snow showers. Again, less than an inch accumulation. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy into the upper 20s again and 42 with a slight chance of rain on Thursday.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got a brain,
and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. It's 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. I mentioned this earlier in the show. Just throw it out there for your consideration. Texas, the grief is not limited to West Virginia. A two-year-old remained in critical condition Sunday after being shot by his four-year-old brother, who may not have known the difference between a real and a toy gun. Apparently, the two-year-old threw a toy at his brother, causing as part of an argument between the children. And the older boy, the four-year-old, went to mommy's purse, pulled out a loaded handgun, and blew his baby brother away. The police sergeant Cameron Grison says the four-year-old doesn't understand what he did. He's wondering where his brother is and when his brother's coming home. Guns don't shoot children. Children shoot children. Do you understand? Do you understand how sickening that is? 10 children in the United States every day die from handgun violence. Most of them are accidental. Want to square that with the Second Amendment? Nah, why bother? freedom. It's freedom. Let's go back to the phones. 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Jeff's with us, and he's been waiting. I appreciate it. Hey, Jeff.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm going to say something about the airport. I don't know the man, the whatever his name. His last name is Cochran.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know anything about him. And this,
frankly, I don't either. I know enough to hear that he's a good guy and he tries real hard.
Don't really know anything about him, but there's an airline that flies out of there called Cochran Airlines, isn't there?
I thought that was Colgan.
Is it Colgan, or I thought there was a Cochran?
No, Colgan.
Colgan Airlines.
Yeah.
Well, just it seems like that somebody that, you know, made money over there could come up with $250,000. Couldn't they?
To get two million. Well, it's a public airport. Okay, it's supposedly it belongs to you, it belongs to me, it belongs to Raleigh County. Okay, airlines pay fees for using it. So the only private entity out there are the airlines that are flying in. Mm-hmm. You know, my understanding, I'm not a pilot or anything, but, you know, there are fees involved if you're a private pilot. So, no, I don't think there's $250,000 laying around out there. Let me throw a really wild one out there, though, to you, Jeff. You think we could, and I'm not talking about making it permanent, you think we could generate $250,000 by, you know, what, a penny on the sales tax?
On what?
Anything but food.
No.
Within the within Raleigh County.
No.
No, we couldn't generate $250,000?
Well, I know we could, but no. Because the vast majority of people in Raleigh County don't use that airport.
Well, do you think that might raise awareness to the point where maybe they would?
I don't want to fly anywhere, and 95% of the people in Raleigh County don't either, or it would be a profitable airport.
No, I don't think it's a matter of not wanting to fly. I've never met anybody that's been on an airplane that didn't like flying. I love flying.
We don't have no need to fly everywhere, most of the people in Raleigh County.
Jeff, you're verging on the if God had meant us to fly, he would have given us wings argument. Careful there, buddy.
No, if I had any place to go, I'd go out there and jump on an airplane and go. Just like I'd jump on a bus.
Okay.
95% of the people don't even think about that airport in Raleigh County.
Right. So what I said may be correct about trying to raise awareness. Make people aware that it's there. Give them a reason to use it.
that's not a good idea at all. I don't
really giving people a reason to use the airport is not a good idea at all.
So you think if you put a penny on the sales tax in Raleigh County, people are going to start flying out of that?
Just long enough to raise the $250,000. If it takes a week, take it off in a week. If it takes 2 weeks, take it off in 2 weeks.
But do you think Cochran Airlines makes any money
Colgan
on that airport?
Colgan? Actually, no, I don't think they're making money out of it right now because they're in desperate financial straits, last I checked. There aren't any. Delta's on the verge of bankruptcy. U.S. Air is in bankruptcy. About the only profitable airline left in America is Southwest. And
last I checked,
they don't come to Charleston.
You know, do you think we ought to build Greyhound a bus station?
No, they already got one.
Well, Nick Greyhound wants to build them another one.
Well, I got no problems with that because
you said no.
No, I didn't. No, I said they've already got one.
You said no, they've already got one. When I asked you, do you want to build one? You said
right.
No, they've already got one.
Right.
So Nick Greyhound wants to build them one.
Does he?
Sure he does.
And
included into revitalize the big project.
Oh, you mean the little big dig. Yeah. Okay.
$65 million we're gonna flush.
That's gonna be flushed.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not gonna do any good for Beckley whatsoever.
No, but if anybody wanted to go downtown Beckley, wouldn't they be going there? Wouldn't there be any stores or anything there?
Jeff, your logic's flawed again there, buddy. There was a time when lots of people went to downtown Beckley when there were businesses there.
Why aren't they there now?
Because of the malls, because of sprawl, because of the...
If we build a bus station and a parking garage, the mall's going to disappear?
No, it's not. But if we do, some well thought out urban renewal, yeah, people will come.
So you think if somebody say build a $30 million parking garage where Lewis Chevrolet used to be, that people are going to park them cars and get out and actually walk all up and down them streets and sidewalks?
Well, there's a lot greater chance of it than if the situation now where there's not any parking, isn't there? There's not a lot of parking in Beckley.
I don't know. There's nothing up there.
Right, but there used to be, Jeff.
So we should throw that.
We'd like to revitalize. We would like to revitalize Beckley. You know, this uptown area, among other reasons, because it is good to have viable city structures, a viable city infrastructure. It's look, if you can park your car and walk to three or four stores, isn't that better off than driving the 10 miles to a mall?
Not when it costs me $65 million.
It doesn't cost you $65 million. It probably doesn't cost you 10 cents out of the taxes you pay, Jeff. Come on.
$65 million? That would be about 40 cents.
And your neighbors aren't worth 40 cents.
You know, I don't...
Your neighbors aren't worth a dime. Beckley is not worth a dime. Let's just keep sprawling it on out so we keep depending on more foreign oil and we keep burning more fuel to drive further away to buy more crap made in China.
That has nothing to do with it.
That has everything to do with it, Jeff.
If you do that, that's not going to slow down imports at all, and people are going to be driving just as far to there as they do anywhere else.
Okay, you're just utterly defeated on this.
Well, what about...
You just want to throw your hands up and what? I mean, shall we? I tell you what, let's take that $55 million and build a big wall and a moat around Beckley, and then maybe what? You'll be happy?
Was it a good idea to put $7 million revitalizing a train station that's 15 miles from the nearest two-lane road to where people would have to drive down a one-lane windy road to a town where seven people live?
What are you talking about?
The Thurman train station.
The Thurman train station
is... Train depot thing down there and the bank and hotel and all that. That we spent $7 million for, and it looks like a piece of garbage.
And draws tourists.
How many's down there, you think, today?
Today?
Yeah.
I don't know, Jeff.
There's nobody down there except for June, July, and August. In the wintertime, it's a ghost town.
So?
$7 million.
What, you want to, what are you trying to tell me here, Jeff? You want to tear it down and rebuild it every year?
How much money did we give a private school in Beckley to build a library?
What are you talking about, Mountain State?
Of course, and talk about Mountain State. How much money did that library cost us?
Gee, I don't know. I don't generally fuss about building libraries because I think knowledge and the keeping of knowledge is a valuable thing. I'm sorry you don't.
I thought you didn't like the subsidized companies and businesses.
No, but I'm absolutely crazy about subsidizing some forms of education.
Even if it's a business, even if it's a for-profit school, that's not a government school. That's a corporation. That's a business.
It is a private school, yes.
Yeah, people are getting rich and making a lot of money off that place.
Are they really?
Sure they are.
Okie dokie.
You ever pay a tuition to go up there?
No.
You don't know how much it costs then, do you?
Yeah, I do have a pretty good idea of what it costs there.
It costs a fortune. It's a lot more, high school around here.
It's a lot more expensive than Concord or Bluefield State. I know that.
Way yonder. Their books are ridiculously priced. Well, the man that got it, his name is on the front of that building.
Yeah, Senator Byrd.
The library cost us $2 million.
Okay, and you don't like libraries?
No, I don't like government.
What do you want to spend money on, Jeff? A fishing hole? You don't object to the National Fish Hatchery over there in Greenbrier County, do you?
That's paid for licenses. None of your tax money went into that.
Okay, sure.
Sure.
Okay, so you're all for that. We can raise fish.
Did you buy a fishing license?
No.
And you have no money in that.
Okay. Sure thing. You betcha. Even though it says United States Department of the Interior.
The Department of the Interior is the National Park Service. The fish hatchery over there where you're talking about is run by West Virginia. And it's funded by...
Really? So that federal sign is just a fraud.
Where's it at?
Where is the place again? Where is it? White Sulphur Springs?
No, it's not a federal fish hatchery.
Really?
No.
So that federal sign there is just bogus.
It's not a federal sign there.
Okay.
That's a state.
Okay. I drove by it Saturday.
That's a state hatchery.
Okay.
The state trout hatchery.
And no federal funds go into that whatsoever.
If it's a state trout hatchery, no.
Okay.
Not unless they're appropriated by the United States Sport Fish Wildlife Restoration Fund.
Okie dokie.
But, you know, we got Kimball War Memorials. We've got stuff over here all over the place. But long as Democrats approve of it, it's fine. You know, but if it was a road that cost $250,000 to access a coal mine, you'd be screaming for it.
Absolutely.
You'd be screaming against it.
Right? Absolutely.
But, you know, if
because
it's something that you think is justified, then it's justified.
Right, because I am allowed to have an opinion, Jeff, dear God, man.
You know, but,
and I have priorities.
But you don't
apply
that opinion equally across the board.
Right, because I think you're absolutely right, Jeff, because I think there's a big difference in subsidizing a stinking coal company that's destroying West Virginia and the future of West Virginia the generations. There's a big difference in subsidizing that, which we already do, by the way,
mm-hmm.
and building, say, a repository of knowledge.
So then you think that the guys running Colgan Airlines, the CEO of Colgan Airlines, is not living a lifestyle similar to Don Blankenship?
Did I say that?
Well, you don't care to subsidize that airport so Colgan Airlines can run in and out of it and make money.
But one, Colgan Airlines isn't making money. We've been over this ground, Jeff. It's getting a little bit dull.
Do you think the CEO lives in a little trailer?
Two, do I think the CEO lives in a trailer? No.
He's living the life of luxury.
You're darn right. He's living the life of Riley. That's the way it is in corporate America.
Why can't he pony up to $250K?
Don't know.
Okay. It's just because it's easier to jump on.
I don't know. Maybe because it's not Colgan Airlines Airport.
They use it.
Hey, Jeff, I got you again, buddy. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, White Sulphur Springs National Fish Hatchery. You lose again, buddy. We're out of here. Okay, 20 minutes after 9 o'clock, we need to take a little break. We'll come back. Your phone calls at 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey, look, it's a text message.
What's it say?
Here for you.
Really?
Hey, Cellular One wants you to get the message. We're here for you. That's right. Cellular One is here for you in Beckley, Pineville, Bluefield, Welch, Lewisburg, White Sulphur Springs, Oak Hill, and more places in West Virginia and the country than ever before. The company that Beckley Register Herald readers voted favorite place to buy cellular phones is here for you with loads of anytime minutes, including unlimited nights and weekends. Plus, Cellular One's here with flip phones, camera phones, even free phones. But most importantly, Cellular One is here with dependable local customer service. Really. So get a phone, get a plan, and get it now from Cellular One, West Virginia's only locally owned and operated wireless provider. We're here for you. Bring your home or wireless number to Cellular One and get free activation and a free phone. Visit your neighborhood Cellular One store for more information.
I'm Toni Braxton. Nothing to wear? Let me make a suggestion. You need something to wear every day, something powerful that makes a fashion statement and feels good. It's simple. Wear red and go red for women. I've gone red because heart disease is the number one killer of women in America. The number one killer. And most women don't even know it. I've gone red because heart disease runs in my family. I've gone red because I want you and all women to know the facts about heart disease. I want you to talk with your doctor and learn about the risk factors of heart disease, such as smoking and inactivity. I want you to know your numbers, your cholesterol, blood pressure, weight, and glucose levels, and watch them closely. I want you to know what you can do to help prevent heart disease. I've gone red. You should too. Nothing to wear? I don't think so. Make a statement. Join Go Red for Women, a campaign to rally all women to fight heart disease. Call the American Heart Association at 1-888-MY-HEART.
I've got a pop quiz for you. How well can you do? What's the last magazine you bought at the checkout line? What's the last book your kid checked out of the library? Who did your basketball team pick in the draft? Who did your kid pick to sit next to in lunch? Name a book on the bestseller list. Name a book in your kid's backpack. Who is president of the United States? Who is president of your kid's student council? Can you name three R&B artists? Can you name three artists your kid studied in school?
Know what really matters. When you know all about your kid's school, you know all about your kid. Not only will your relationship benefit, so will your kid. When kids have parents involved in their school, they have higher grades, better attendance, and more self-esteem. Visit www.pta.org to find 100 simple ways to get involved. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
WWNR Beckley.
A man who just loves conservatives. Baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. What are you guys going to learn? I don't just make stuff up. I said that it was a federal facility. It is a federal facility. We are fact-based here. This is reality-based radio. This isn't one of those faith-based Bush things where if you just believe it, it turns into, you know, two miracle math made easy. 2 and 2 equals 12 3/4. Reality. Facts. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, White Sulphur Springs National Fish Hatchery. Bing. No, that's a state program. Paid for with your fishing licenses. Let me give up. Let's go back to the phones. David's with us. Hey, David, you're head on. David.
Bob. Bob, you've got to help me. I've got the Elvis gun pulled out, and I'm about to shoot my television.
What's going on?
It's my computer monitor that I'm about to kill. You have had a raft of moron callers tonight that has outstripped any group of goofballs you have ever put on the airwaves.
Oh, you're mean, David. You're mean.
Tell me I'm lying.
I'll take the fifth.
All right, we'll take a pass on that one. You don't have a functioning airport with a future for a reason. You can't talk about some kids asking kindergartens for a reason. You don't. People are trying to separate 150,000 nursing mothers away. They're trying to.
No, that's 770,000, David.
Sorry?
That's 770,000 nursing mothers.
Well, you know, rather than bridge the gap between starvation, which will create brain damage, which will create 770,000 little, well, less than the kind of citizens we want to live next door to, Bob, we don't have that because Halliburton can't find $9 billion. They're
oh, Jesus, I know.
$7 billion to move 80-some-odd thousand dollars worth of gasoline.
I know.
Can we please connect those dots?
Oh, you know, I think they're microdots, David, if you know what I mean.
Ooh, dude, peace, love, and microdots.
Exactly. I mean, God. And, you know, do you like that in the Bush budget? I couldn't get a straight answer, David. Do you like cutting 770,000 nursing mothers off?
No. The point was, you know, the effort was to drift to some convoluted thing about I don't like to fly. Or, no, I'm not leaving home. I want to stay right here, and I want to watch the mountains be eroded and dissolved and sold out from underneath me. I want my kids be poisoned by the water and filed by the air, and I never want to leave home because if I leave home, I might notice it happening.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
Goodness. Oh, hey, libraries, under any circumstance, get rid of them. Somebody might learn to read and figure out that George Bush is an idiot. And there's a tremendous parallel between that little Texas four-year-old that out of anger, short-sightedness, ignorance, and a brain that's not yet fully developed.
The whole world.
His little brother. He killed his little brother out of anger, spite, and malice. and his mythical, his euphemistic older brother, George Walker Bush, kills him every day for the same darn reason.
It all does somehow come together, doesn't it, David?
It does indeed.
In spades. Oh, you know, and I thought about the whole world's in mommy's purse, isn't it?
Oh, exactly. And now then, that little four-year-old has yet to have the impact of his actions crash in on him. And by God, George Walker Bush and that kid of his, or the father, neither one has realized the ugly lifestyle they've created for America and what they've done to this glorious country. They're no different than that little four-year-old. They are so removed from reality, they don't know what they've done.
You're right. So, do we just have to suck it up and live with it?
Oh, that's where there's a fork in the road, Bob. You know, to change that, we've got to wait and vote. The alternative is anarchy. And I'd rather not go down the anarchy road just yet.
Well, it people get their feelings hurt during anarchy and, you know, lose their lives. And wait a minute, that's already happening.
Yeah, that's going on. And it's headed this way because, you know, if you don't like what the Bushistas say, they'll just pick you up and drop you off in a country where laws don't exist. And they will torture you until you admit what they'd like, what they would like.
Yeah.
Captured one to say.
Like, Osama's going to attack the multiplex.
Oh, yeah.
Gee.
Well, at least there is one little ray of hope. I love to listen to right-wing radio and just wait for the faux pas, wait for the lies. That usually doesn't take long. I listened to Bill O'Reilly, gosh, it was very recently, probably last night, and he had this absolutely poorly thought-out idea that because the ACLU is fighting the extradition of prisoners out of Guantanamo, that proves that there's no torture going on in Guantanamo. And, oh, and besides, any torture in Guantanamo was just a liberal media lie. So he's lost his mind.
No, yeah, but no, I don't know that he's lost his mind, David, because you got to bear in mind things that are passing for torture in Guantanamo involving lubricated broom handles. If you read the suit papers about O'Reilly, he takes as good sport.
Well, there's an alarming... There's an alarming parallel between certain things that go, and, well, we could go too far real quickly.
Yeah, wouldn't say it's a short trip, David. Oh, but
I do like it that Mr. Weiner is now night after night after night attacking Mr. Flimball. That's kind of entertaining.
Oh, and he calls O'Reilly the leprechaun. And, well, here's the other beauty of it. You know, I caught him talking about... Mr. Flimball's little junk problem, you know, the junkie that we and...
Oh, really?
He was talking about, and he said, you know, and they really shouldn't be charged, they really shouldn't be prosecuting him under that there because, you know, that's, he's just persecuting him because he's a conservative. And oddly enough, one of the chief groups that is arguing that very point would be the American Civil Liberties Union. And, of course, you know, to prove the hypocrisy of the right, what does the Savage Wiener get on the air and do every night? Carps about the American Civil Liberties Union. Red diaper dopa babies, you know, these people, what they're tearing down American freedom. And yet he doesn't. And he espouses the same position. Huh?
Oh, he's a total piece of work in that regard.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of these days when you're bored, Google up... Allen Ginsberg, Michael Weiner, Stanford Ginsberg Collection.
Does that reflect on the swim in the warm waters of somewhere or another with sans clothes?
Well, not just that. Michael Weiner tells his good buddy Mr. Ginsberg, who was a raging homosexual, that he wants to stick the lens of his Nikon camera somewhere. And he didn't mean it nastily. It was something he really wanted to do. Yes, well, the good heterosexual Mr. Weiner.
Conservative commentator with a mandate. I think
Oh, we've got a Cupid doll for you, David. We got to get out of here, man.
Okay, Bob.
All right, see you. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right, bottom of the hour break. Then we come back. More of your phone calls at 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The Senate Judiciary Committee has passed a bill that would make filming or taping movies inside a theater a felony. The bill is intended to stop the practice of film piracy, in which major release movies are videotaped while playing in theaters and mass-produced on DVDs and video cassettes or released on the Internet. Tom Winter, a lobbyist for the Motion Picture Association of America, told the committee that film piracy costs the industry millions of dollars each year, and one person could devastate the market for a motion picture. The Senate version of the bill would make film piracy punishable by a fine of $500 to $1,000 or a prison term of 1 to 10 years or both for first offense. State police have issued a warning to local retailers, watch out for bad checks. Police say a man entered the Maple Fork Go-Mart Saturday and successfully passed a stolen check. The suspect was captured on the store's surveillance camera. He's described as a white male, about 5 foot 8 to 5'10" tall, with a stocky build and between 30 to 40 years old. He was seen driving away in a dark blue or black colored pickup truck. Police say the checks were stolen from a trash can in the Beaver area. They say there were also attempts to pass the stolen checks at retailers in Fayette County. They also say retailers and banks should check for positive ID and write the information on the check. They also recommend that when a checking account is closed, the old checks should be shredded. Wyoming County Highway was partially blocked by a 100-ton rock slide for almost 24 hours. Division of Highway supervisors say the slide covered the northbound lane of State Route 16, Welch-Pineville Road, from 2:30 Sunday afternoon to 10 o'clock yesterday morning. DOH crews removed on the scene overnight. No one was injured. The boulders were moved off the road and onto the berm by the mountainside. That's the news. Here's the forecast then for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy. Tonight becoming mostly cloudy. Slight chance of snow showers late tonight, low in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, cloudy. A chance of snow in the morning. Then a chance of snow with a slight chance of rain by Wednesday afternoon. Tomorrow's high near 40. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
This is America on the Road. Mitsubishi's newest sport utility vehicle is called the Endeavor. It's based on the new Galant chassis, and we'll be right back with a full report, so stay tuned.
The key to business success in today's information economy lies in a company's ability to manage and protect its most valuable asset, information. In a very real sense, a company is its information. Vital data exists within all departments of an enterprise: customer relations, personnel, sales, marketing, finance, and beyond. And like any valued corporate asset, this information requires protection. For the prudent IT executive, protecting the entire infrastructure and the information that resides in it goes beyond preventing virus attacks and network intrusions. A company must secure the organization and keep it up and running. Today's businesses keep information secure and available to the people who need it. For more information about managing and securing an IT infrastructure for your enterprise, visit itstrategycenter.com. IT Strategy Center is brought to you by Symantec.
This is Jack Ura. The new Mitsubishi Endeavor is a mid-size sport utility vehicle based on their new Gallant platform. It's available as a front drive or all-wheel driver and delivers a smooth car-like ride. There's no low-range transfer case, as the Endeavor is not designed for severe off-road driving. The only driveline available is a 3.8-liter V6 engine hooked up to a 4-speed automatic transmission with manumatic controls. This combination provides good performance and reasonable fuel economy of 19 miles per gallon in the city and 27 miles per gallon on the highway. The engine does require premium fuel.
This is Mike Hansen. The styling of the new Mitsubishi Endeavor features a massive front-end fascia with high boxed fender flares covering the 17-inch wheel and tire package. The effect is that it looks bigger and more massive than it really is. The driving dynamics are good, but there's a little trace of torque steer with the front-wheel drive unit. ABS is standard on the four-wheel drive and top-of-the-line front-wheel drive models. The instruments are easy to read, and the controls are easy to operate and easy to see. So on our scale of 1 to 5, 4 tires and a spare, the new $25,000 to $33,000 Mitsubishi Endeavor rates a 4.
And we'll have more next time right here on America on the Road from CBS Westwood One.
WWNR Beckley, West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Again, I don't just say stuff. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. A little poetry corner from the Allen Ginsberg collection. This is stuff that was mailed to him. Around 1969, from Michael Wiener, who is now Michael Savage. Michael Wiener, dear Allen Ginsberg, little poem. Please stop caring about my soul. She's free enough without your screaming hats and beards. Why, just yesterday, the two of us danced around. That's like a haiku, isn't it? Dear Allen Ginsberg, please stop caring about my soul. She's free enough without your screaming hats and beards. Why, just yesterday, the two of us danced around. It's sweet. It's just sweet. It's about 19 and a half minutes before 10 o'clock. And, well, yeah, let's go to the phones. Jim's been waiting. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
I just hear you say that Allen Ginsberg was going to do like a Kodak.
No. Michael.
Philosophy of Mr. Wiener.
No, that's what Mr. Wiener wanted to do to Allen.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I've got the text of it right here, but I can't read it on the radio.
That's okay. Well, maybe we really could find Jimmy Hoffa. Philosophy of Atlantis, the Lindbergh baby.
The Greek
the
delegate.
Holy Grail.
The Greek delegate to Boys Nation. Yeah, whatever.
Wherever. Yeah. Listen, this is what I call you to say. You know, have you ever seen the movie Judgment at Nuremberg?
Yes, I have.
When I heard you, and I'm not going to call the boy's name because I don't want to embarrass him. I really don't. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
A couple of callers ago.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I wanted to hear you ask and say, so-and-so, make a sentence with three words. Hare, hunter, field. And then you could flash the order to me, I'd sign it, and we'd send it to Raleigh General. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. If I wanted to put together a traveling sideshow to convince the rest of the country and the world, this station is the greatest number and producer of cretins and idiots.
Hey,
this
Jim.
Guy would be in the first exhibit.
Jim, come on. I mean, you know, just
honestly.
I know, but by the same token, Jim, you gotta bear in mind, we air the opinions out, whether they're right or wrong.
Oh, I know you do. All right, next point.
Sure.
Listen, why did they build this airport here? They must have moved a lot of dirt, a lot of hard gravel, a lot of granite, a lot of whatever.
Yeah.
To make it, it's a fine airport.
It's beautiful.
Obviously, somebody was very foresighted in putting it here. Now, why do they build it here? You know more about this place than I do.
Well, I mean, I look at it as being an exemplar of the idea of if you build it, they will come. You know, for instance, and I've pointed to this in the past, look at the highest unemployment rates in West Virginia.
Right.
They just happen to be at one and the same time the counties in West Virginia with the least amount of four-lane highway.
Okay, which would necessitate having some type of air hub, right?
Well, the whole idea is if you make it easier for people to come here. I'm not kidding about the runway at this airport, Jim.
I know it is. It's the second best airport in the state.
The idea is if we can just keep it afloat long enough, if we can get through, you know, if we can get done with Bush's economy, good things might begin to happen.
Well, I mean, you know, they talk about the internodal program that they're trying to build.
Right.
You obviously can't have anything of any consequence unless you have a transportation hub.
Exactly. And the fact, what it boils down to is if they can't get here,
For example, why isn't the military interest processing station in Charleston, where there is reliable airport and more reliable transportation? For political reasons, it was put here in Beckley, and it's going to stay here in Beckley. Okay? You see what I'm saying?
Sure I do. And there's,
yeah, that's
I mean,
where they funnel all these people in.
But that's not just hucksterism, that political hucksterism. There is some forethought behind that.
To give this place a raison d'etre, a reason for being as far as commercial and business is concerned. Is to help, right?
Right. I've got a song that was given. It's on a disc that was given to me. It was played live on this show a while back. Talking about the good old days of Beckley when Uptown here was alive.
And it must have been really nice.
It was.
It's really a pretty area.
This is a beautiful Uptown area. It's a beautiful town area. You can walk around. You can see photographs if you go in some of the older stores and or you know some people. The photographs of days when you had to rub shoulders and arms and elbows with your fellow citizens on a Saturday afternoon in Beckley.
Well, you remember Harry's Moon Shop?
Sure.
Remember Bob?
I would give anything if that place still existed.
I mean, that was one of the nicest places to go in this town. Really, you go to Harry's?
Yeah.
No matter what you needed, they could get it for you.
And they knew you the minute you walked in the door.
And, you know, the old gentleman there was he was delightful to talk to. He was from Minsk, Russia.
Yeah.
And Bob was just one of the nicest men I've ever known, the black gentleman.
Yeah, but again, you know, some of that is the Walmarting of America, Jim.
It's horrible.
You and I recognize it when we talk, the gooming of America. You know, if goom doesn't have it, you don't need it.
Well, I mean, with an airport like that, as nice as it is, with the length of runway that it is, we have, you know, you talk about a jewel. That's an absolute jewel of an airport.
Right,
They can do so much more with it.
Well, back up, though, Jim. Which makes more sense? Build the airport first and let the airport be a part of things filling in around it, or try to create some sort of an economy and then say, well, damn, we kind of need an airport, don't we? Kind of makes sense to build the airport first, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, absolutely, and then you can have, I mean, you know, the people, you know, the mountain, the Mojave can come to the mountain, literally.
Precisely.
And, you know, I have traveled in and out of that airport several times since I've lived here, and, you know, it's very convenient. I don't enjoy going to Charleston or dealing with Jaeger.
Right,
and what you suggested about, you know, people getting together and going over to D.C., stuff like that. I mean, we're very centrally located here.
Well, wouldn't that be fun, though, Jim? I mean, is that a crazy idea on my part?
No, it's wonderful. I thought it was superb. That's the reason I called back.
You know, I don't know how many people one of these aircraft would accommodate. But if I could work it out where I could get a night in a hotel room, and airfare to D.C., and put that together for 20-30 people, where it works out to maybe 150 a person. I have never taken my kids to D.C.
I mean, I have flown cold about five times, okay?
Yeah.
It is not treetop airline.
No.
It is not a puddle jump. I've been on some aircraft that would curl your hair, okay?
Yeah, I know. I've done the same.
And so, but it's not like that at all. I mean, those planes are really nice, and it's a nice facility. It's a beautiful facility. And, you know, you've got so much potential out there. And, you know, these people who went out there to meet Cheney in the hangar out there, and the ones who, of course, gorged the armory, I hope they're thinking twice about who they voted for.
Well, you know, they have no one to thank but themselves if the airport shuts down.
And I want to tell you one other thing about this guy that called and said that Bush told everybody he was going to do this stuff. He wasn't going to do anything with Social Security and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I heard him a week before the election make a speech in which he said he did not intend to touch Social Security.
We all did, Jim. We all did. But Jim
say that Bush is saying that he said he was going to do all this stuff and has fallen up on it. I don't know what they're on, but I hope it doesn't become legal.
Jim, we're reality-based, okay? This is the difference between faith-based politics and reality-based politics. You and I heard Bush say, I'm not going to touch Social Security, just like we heard his daddy say, read my lips, no new taxes.
I know.
You know, we're reality-based. We trust, you know, what comes in our eyes and our ears, we tend to trust. You know, we don't do the miracle math made easy where 2 and 2 is 12 3/4. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is...
Well, you know, maybe some of these faith-based people, if they want to try to save this airport, maybe Rick Snuffer and some of his crowd ought to get together, and they ought to start passing the hat and take up the selection.
No. Faith only goes so far, Jim. Hey, Jim, I got to jump to one more phone call, but I appreciate your thoughts on the thing. It's a lovely airport. I hate to see it shut down. I think it's worth keeping open no matter what we have to do it, because that's what everything is going to grow in around. Has anybody noticed that... that's where the growth is taking place in this area right now. It's out around the airport. We're trying, if we can keep the airport alive long enough, the airport will have a reason to be outside of itself, because we're going to grow the infrastructure in around it.
Well, that's right. That's exactly the test that businesses, that's the first thing they ask, is there some type of reliable transportation hub?
Yeah, and Colgan flies nice aircraft. They've got 21 Saab 340Bs and 11 Beech 1900Bs.
Been on many times. But listen, remember, use that test now. Hare, Hunter, Field.
Thanks, Jim. Later. Okay, Jethro. Hey, Jethro, what's going on? You head on.
We don't need no stinking air service.
We can walk!
That was the deal this morning.
We don't need
no more handouts. We don't need that air service. You know, but the thing of it is, you know, how are you going to build it? How are you going to build any business there if it's not there to begin with?
Right. I mean, you know, if you listen to a Republican, Jethro, you know, it's all about business. I guess we need to shut this down, let the weeds grow through the pavement, and then let business build an airport and see how expensive that is.
Right. And it doesn't matter that it's the tax cuts and all your money is going overseas to fight some crazy war, but that's better, you know. That's what I got this morning is, yeah, shut that airport down because we're doing good things over in Iraq.
Oh, help me.
I could not believe the madness and several callers after me who were, if the air service is taken away, that's fine. We don't need it. You know, we can go to Charleston like we've always done. It's beyond madness.
From where I live, Jethro, and I know it doesn't matter that much, I have flown into Charleston and then had to drive home. It sucks.
Yeah, what about the people who can't drive to Charleston, who have to access, you know, Beckley's air service and all?
Too damn bad, I guess.
You know, we've got the runways here, and for people to... just to be so blind about where that money has gone. You know, this doesn't only affect Beckley's airport. It affects all these small airports. And
yeah.
Where's Coughlin going to go if all these small airports that they're serving go down? Where are they going
to
go?
I got a news flash for why we want Colgan to go away, or why the Bush people want Colgan to go away. Would you care to take a guess?
Sure.
Mr. Colgan has provided air service since 1965, okay? As of July 1, 1997, Colgan Air became a Continental connection, and December 11, 1999, Colgan Air started operating under a code share and service agreement as a U.S. Airways Express carrier, all right? So we've got all that. Now, here's the other shoe dropping. The reason that the Bush administration would like to see Colgan Air die... Senator Charles J. Colgan, Senate of Virginia, from Manassas, Democrat.
No doubt.
Need I say more?
Yes. I mean, you know, so we're going to do away with Amtrak. We're going to get rid of all these local services. You know, these people have no idea of what they voted for. They don't, you know.
Oh, I know.
Darkness comes soon.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to thinking about it. This is how back bass ackwards and topsy turvy these people are. You know, the last great little crop of fascists. It was said to Mussolini's credit that he made the trains run on time, Jethro.
Well, that was nice of him. At least he had trains that would run and stuff.
Right. So, yeah, these guys are so nasty and stupid and evil and pig-eyed and dumbheaded. Rather than making the trains run on time, they figure they'll go one step. I mean, this is from the same crowd that brought you more pollution in the air is clear skies, healthy forests are forests that don't have any more trees, clean water is watered with more arsenic in it. Well, it only makes sense that the best train system of all is the train system that has no trains.
Exactly. And
Microdot.
It's, you know, these people have voted against their self-interest, they're cheering against their own self-interest, and they're cheering on the downfall of the United States, but they think that they're some kind of a big patriot or something. That's what I...
Yeehaw, hand me another gun. I'm going to shoot myself in the foot some more.
Whew. You know, it's just the stupidity is so, it goes much further than madness here. I you know.
Jethro, I could start drinking right now.
Really?
And not put the bottle down till sunup and still not be able to fathom the way these people think.
Yeah, finish the bottle, then stick your head in the bucket of a lie.
Yeah, pluck my eyeballs out and run screaming off a cliff.
And that's crazy. I mean, you know, that airport is a big part of our future. And, you know, we need
it's
to keep
a
that
gem.
Going,
yeah.
No matter what. And it's a, you know, nobody cares that we're over there wasting, you know, $500 billion and thousands of men dead.
$27 million to transport $82,000 worth of LP gas.
Yeah. But I was hearing today about how much good we're doing over there. And we didn't need that airport because we needed what good we're doing over there. I just don't see that. How you can the closing of Beckley's airport, you know, to support some foreign war that is going to end up with us getting run out of there and nothing accomplished.
And gut stomped in Iran and we know what the CIA said as of what, 2018, 2020, we're no longer a major power.
And then every so often we're gonna come up with these vague terrorist threats to keep the fear going. And to keep these people,
I just wonder if Osama's going to attack the Metroplex that's showing Passion of the Christ recut.
Right. Now Zarqawi's somewhere down some rat hole in Iraq, but he's planning soft strikes on the United States?
Yeah.
That is a lie.
Yes, it's a lie. Even the liar says, hey, look, I'm lying, okay? But, you know, don't print that high up in the article.
I hear you. You know, and that's if that's not coming from Karl Rove and then some of these government fools, it's coming from somewhere deep in the bowels because, you know, these guys have Zarqawi and Bin Laden, they have achieved some kind of mystical status.
I miss Hunter Thompson so badly, Jethro.
I do, too.
We need him so bad.
We do need him badly.
Because, you know, if he read a story like that, we would be reading a commentary about I was wandering through the bowels of the White House the other day with my good friend Dick Cheney. We had just dropped a couple of hits of acid, and he looked at me and said, what if we tell America that Zarqawi wants to bomb the Metroplex?
Right. Yeah, and don't go to the restaurants, the train stations. You're not safe anywhere except in front of the tube watching Fox News.
And church. They're not. You did notice in that list they're not going to bomb churches. Oh, it all fits together, Jethro. We got to get out of here, but what is it?
It's madness.
Later,
madness, I tell you.
Later, my brother.
Fight the good fight, Bob.
Trying to.
Later.
Hey, thanks everybody. Great show tonight. Thank you very, very much. However you said what you said and whatever you said. The show tonight, of course, produced by the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are. Working for you, also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. You can go and listen to the archive of the show at whiterosesociety.org. We are very, very much appreciative of Ben Birch and his efforts along those lines. Hey, Agnes.